Glory to God forever and ever. Jesus Christ is alive. His presence and glory fills the earth. Amen. Amen. Father Jesus, Holy Spirit, we give you this time. We welcome you. We're so grateful for everything. Jesus, reveal yourself to us. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge that you are God. Amen. We welcome you here. Man was born to fellowship with God. This is one of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, that God would offer himself in this way. And the truth, the revelation that God offers himself to mankind is a mystery of the kingdom of heaven. To think that the God of the universe would offer himself to every person on the earth. And he offers himself through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead. Everything about Jesus Christ reveals the Father God Almighty, the only true God. Amen. Jesus spoke about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, and I want to touch on some of these, but the main thing, his presence and glory, is beyond words. He's beautiful beyond description. He's the most wonderful, most beautiful being, person in the universe. He is God Almighty. And everything about him is revealed in Jesus Christ. That's just it's just so awesome to get this revelation and to realize his presence and glory is infinity on the 1 to 10 scale. I've been giving these kind of, you might call them comparisons or whatever. Comparisons such as the presence of Jesus, the presence of God, is worth more than the world and everything in the world, all the wealth of the world, everything in it, put together, multiplied times infinity. But even these comparisons really don't, they just, I mean, I'm saying these to build hunger in us, for us to realize what God is offering. But really, he and his offer is incomparable. We cannot, even for all eternity, those who make it to heaven, they will be in God's presence and glory, the presence of Jesus forever, and they will just be in awe of him. And in heaven, people go to worship services and worship God and serve him, and it's just so awesome. If you want to read about heaven, our ministry has a book, Heaven 33 Stories from a Real Place. You can get it for free on our website, wonderreality.org. But that glory is available on the earth. That's available. I want to present also some additional mysteries of the kingdom of heaven just quickly. Now, these are very serious, but I just want to say them. Number one, God, what we give to God is what we receive. Well, let me say, what we give of ourselves to God is what God will give of himself to us. By that I mean, if we just give him part of ourself, he gives us. This is a deep mystery. I mean, it's almost just, the Holy Spirit can reveal these things. But let's skip to the end. The most glorious scenario, you might say, famous scripture in Jeremiah. It says, God says, "You shall seek me and you shall find me when you search for me with all your heart." If we give him our whole heart, Jesus revealed that in the first commandment. Love the Lord your God with everything you have. In fact, Jesus revealed it in many, many ways and in many different teachings. But if we give God our whole heart, everything we have, well, this is a glorious mystery. This is incredible. He gives us all of himself. And that same truth is what I'm saying is the amount that someone gives of themselves to God is the amount that he gives of himself back to us. That's an unspeakable mystery that's even revealed in the Bible. And we go back to the fact that God made man into his image. We are the image of God. We are his. Every person on the earth is either a child of God or a potential child of God who can spend eternity in heaven. There's another mystery. It's up to a person how they respond. Oh, glory to God. Okay, now that's one area. That's a whole, you understand, what I just presented in the last minute or two, that could be a series, a teaching that could last forever. Okay, let me touch on another one. This is similar. Now let me give the scripture first. Numbers 14:28. It says, "As truly as I live, says the Lord, as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you." Jesus spoke about this. Jesus revealed eternal truth and revelation in all of his teachings. He said, "By your words you'll be justified, by your words you'll be condemned." So I want to kind of paraphrase, touch on that verse, Numbers 14:28, and Jesus' words. What we say, this is just, again, please know I don't want to come across as just, as a know-it-all, but test everything that I say. Go straight to the Bible and to the Holy Spirit. If you are saved, if someone has the Holy Spirit, they have the gifts of the Spirit. One is the gift of discernment and to be able to tell, is something truly true or not? Is it from God? Does the Holy Spirit bear witness that something is true? Okay, so we have that gift of discernment. Okay. But I really believe what we say is what we get. Why? Why is it like that? Because God made us in his image. We are, the human being is a masterpiece of the Almighty God, made in God's image. Jesus revealed man's soul is priceless and eternal. Every person will exist forever in heaven or hell. And I just heard a message recently. Spurgeon points out that every person's body and soul and spirit, well, body and soul is eternal also. Even someone who's not, well, the simplified truth is that every person is eternal. Okay, they're, and every person is a three in one, right? We're a spirit, a soul, and a body. Why? Because God is the three-in-one God. He made man in his image. And even man's body is eternal. Our soul is eternal. If someone's born again, their spirit person becomes alive, and now they will live forever. Amen. If someone doesn't get born again, if they choose self instead of God, and they die, their name is not in the book of life, and they will exist forever in hell, a tragedy. They will spend eternity in hell. Their body and their soul will exist forever in hell, in eternal death. And I'm not fully clear, but God forms our spirit man as well. So it very well could be, well, it's a mystery. We can't explain it, but they that's Zechariah 12:1. Thus it says that, let me just read part of it. The word of the Lord concerning Israel, the Lord who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and who forms the human spirit within a person. So he forms their spirit person, even someone who's not saved. He created their body, their soul, and their spirit man. Basically, I think what happens is, if they don't, as I said, if they don't get born again and find Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, their spirit person is never becomes alive. They have no life in them, as Jesus revealed. And so they go to eternal death. But their body and soul exist forever. And they know everything going on in hell. Everything that they remember their whole life on the earth. Okay? But back to what I was saying. I know I got off onto some other mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But back to what this truth that what we say is what we get. It's because we're made in God's image. We have God speaks, amen. He speaks. His command is everlasting life. Jesus said about the Father. We know in Genesis he spoke. He said, "Let there be light." Let there be. You know, he speaks. Jesus speaks, amen. And so humans, we speak. And what we speak is what we get. Let me give some very, very simple, practical examples. If someone says, if they ask Jesus into their heart and life and say, "Well, I welcome you, Jesus." This is, again, this can just be they're alone and they're seeking God, and they say, "Jesus, I welcome you into my life. Thank you. I give you my life. I give you my heart. I welcome you. Be my Lord and Savior." Okay, Jesus will definitely save them. And then if they say, "I'm saved. God saved me." If they hear the gospel, they will know that it's Jesus Christ. If they never hear the gospel, they simply say, "God saved me. He's now my everything. He's my, you know, he's my Lord. He's my," that's what they get. On the other hand, if someone says, "You know, if they say that they're in some other, let's call it another religion, some religion, like, or let's say some people just come up with their own belief system, right? They believe, I've heard people say, you know, "I'm, I don't want to judge an unbeliever, but I'm just trying to come up with a very practical example that might, if someone says, you know, I don't believe in God. I don't believe that He exists. And I don't believe that we can know what happens when we die. Well, then that's what they get. It's very simple. If someone says, I believe that there are, that there's a force, and that this force keeps the world going, and that when we die, nothing happens, then that's what they get. Now, the tragedy is that something does happen, and everyone either goes to heaven or hell. So, and now let's look at also at believers. If a believer says, and I'm just giving examples again, if a believer says, you know, I don't know if I'm saved. I really don't know if,
if they express doubt is basically what I'm saying, then that's what they get. They get doubt. They get unbelief. They get,
okay, so all I'm wanting to do is just present. It's just this glorious mystery. And I think we in the natural doubt these things, and we don't, you know, we question them. And when I say that, I think many people, you know, when if we say the truth, what we say is what we get, many people would just instantly object, either in their mind, or they might verbally say it. Ah, no, I don't think that's true. That's not really, no, that's prosperity gospel teaching. That
small portion of the Christian church, the Protestant, the charismatic church that is under, they call them the prosperity gospel. And some say, oh, you know, name it, claim it, is one of the phrases that people criticize. Oh, they're just name it, claim it. They think whatever they say, they're going to get. Well, I'm looking at it in the spiritual, and it's really so simple and basic that it's so obvious. I mean, if someone says, I'm saved, Jesus Christ is my Savior, that's what they get. If someone says, oh, I don't believe in God, I'm an atheist, well, that's what they get. You see how basic that is? Well, that same truth applies to all, you know, so let's, I guess what my conclusion from this is, these mysteries the Holy Spirit reveals, these glorious, wonderful mysteries that should fill us with great awe and of our great and awesome God, and inspire us and reveal to us how wonderful and glorious what He has offered us. And the greatest offer, of as we know, the greatest offer is, of course, that He's offered Himself, His Son, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and His glory, His majesty, His beauty, His power, His excellence, His just the glorious splendor of His majesty that very few experience, because now that's getting into a mystery where that's between a person and God, you know, and it's just this glorious, unspeakable, inexpressible gift and offer that God has made to man, that man has the opportunity to fellowship with Him. As I've mentioned, we as humans are like sheep. We can learn a lot from sheep, but we are in some ways foolish. It takes a long time for us to get it. You know, we have to, Reinhard Bonnke talked about, we need to break free from old
cliches and old ways and move into receive something new and glorious, a fresh anointing, a new and he said, Lord, do something completely new in my spirit. He said, God must deliver us from ourselves so that we can break free from old cliches and old ways and say, Lord, do something completely new, something glorious, something, and that's possible through the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's, you know, and there's so many distractions and things that keep us from receiving, getting down to that very, very, the deepest reality, you might say, the what man was born to do, fellowship with God. I want to keep proclaiming that. It's so frustrating. I think what Bonnke was referring to, if you don't know about him, he's possibly the most prolific, preached to more people on the earth than anyone in the history of the Christian church. And you can look him up. I mean, just his ministry says at least, they count at, I think the last time I saw it, 79 million people saved through his ministry, Christ for All Nations. And what I think he's referring to is what I've been touching on. There's so many things that keep us from the presence of Jesus. So many things. And many of them are our foolishness and mistakes, and we get distracted and we judge other Christians and we lose interest because, oh, that Christian person is doing things that I don't like and I disagree with, and oh, these people, you know, and okay, here I've do you understand? There's so many things. Okay, Jesus said it's the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts, the pleasures of life. He touched on, I mean, that keeps people from bearing fruit. It keeps people, that's in the parable of the sower passage, which is the foundational parable. Okay, but those things keep people also from the presence of Jesus, from finding the presence and experiencing his presence and glory. There's so many things. I mean, if I listed them, it might be 200 or 300 things that just in a list, I mean, that keep us from this, you know, dead religion, boring religion. You know, we search and search the Bible when really it's about the Holy Spirit, Jesus. You don't need a Bible to know him. The Bible is wonderful. It's God's holy word. There's so many things. You understand? There's just so many. You know, we get. So, what's the moral of this? What's the conclusion? Let's just seek him with our whole heart. Let's just continue in that daily walk. Very simple. Daily walk that's so, and again, it's so glorious. I want to finish with something just so positive. So glorious when we meet him. He does it all. He is the joy of the Lord becomes our strength. It's the greatest privilege to know him for, you know, I remember reading a great man of God wrote, he said, just one moment in his presence is greater than, you know, a million years in the highest courts of the earth. Just one moment in his presence. Just, you know, and so wonderful, so beautiful, so that we will be doing what humans were born to do. Now that's another aspect that I hope encourages us, that this is what humans were born to do. It's the normal, natural, simple, easy way. Having God Almighty, the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit in our life every day, all the time. How glorious that is. And let me give this analogy. I'll try to finish with this. I love this analogy. Okay. The heart of it is just what Reinhard Bonnke said. I heard his message. One of his messages, he said, God set up the perfect plan that we never could have thought of. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, within us, our spirit person, and all around us forever. And the analogy that I give is, I've said this before, but it's quite fascinating, I think. Angels are made from God's glory. They are glorious beyond, I mean, just so awesome. Just one angel in our, if we encountered one angel, we would fall down on our face in awe of the glory of God that proceeds from them. Okay? If God, how incredible it would be if God gave us one angel to, well, and there's, you know, there are angels all around those who fear the Lord, right? Remember that. And there's angels all around. I mean, in Psalms and those famous verses, Jesus said, about children, their angels always see the face of my Father in heaven. I mean, so, but I don't want to touch on those things. I just want to say, if God gave us one angel to be with us all the time, it would be incredible. If he gave us 10 angels or 100 or 1,000 or 1,000,000 angels to be all around us all the time, everywhere we go, would be truly, truly beyond comprehension. Well, he's given us something infinitely greater than 1,000,000 angels all around us. Because it's the perfect plan. He's given us himself, the Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, not only all around us, within our spirit person, and all around us, everywhere we go on the earth, and for all of eternity in heaven. Does that make sense? That's truly an unspeakable mystery. But the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can make it a reality to us. That it is simple. We don't have to have any fear or worry. You know, the Holy Spirit is gentle and sensitive and just perfect. And God Almighty. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is His glory, and that's what I want to continue to emphasize. His glory, His majesty, His beauty, His wisdom and knowledge, and His power, and His and how incredible it is that it's normal and natural, simple and easy, that He's in our spirit person, and everywhere we go, in Him we live and move and have our being. If the 1,000,000 angels were all around us, well, that would be great, but they wouldn't be within our spirit person. Okay. Blessings to you. Please do send us your prayer requests, and we want to ramp up and help us reach more people and get on more platforms to proclaim the gospel. Thank you.